Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. We'll be reading 1 through 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Let the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we bow before you because you are God, because you are sovereign, and you govern your people by directing us, by dictating to us the way we are to live our lives before you. Father, help us this morning as we discuss an area of Scripture that can be hard, that can be detestable to our human nature. And yet, Father, it is what you call us to be. I pray, Father, that you would give me the words and that you would open the ears, the hearts, and the mind of every individual, including myself this morning, Father, to hear your word. That, Father, we may glorify you in the way that we live our lives. Father, I praise you. I thank you for this opportunity. Father, penetrate us. Slay us. And Father, we may glorify you. It is in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So I have put a great deal of study into this over this week. And I have found myself with more material than I could possibly get through. And so I have considered that the introduction that I was going to bring this morning will actually be the entirety of our sermon. And we will probably not even touch verse 5 of Titus chapter 2 today. Because I find it that it is very important that when it comes to the idea of obedience, that we have a grasp of what that means as children of God. When we recognize the reality that we are saved by grace, that the law does not bind us in a way that leads us to salvation, but that the law and everything that God required of us was fully met in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves with a liberty, but not a liberty to sin. Not a liberty to forsake our God. And I want us to understand that as we look at this, we have to understand that anything that goes against what God says is smacking God in the face. We can consider the reality that we're saved by grace. And if we don't understand that as believers, we are commanded, isn't it interesting to use the word command with a people who are saved by grace? And to use the word we are commanded to obey is redundant. However, I want you to contemplate something for a moment. Disobedience in the Old Testament, disobedience to the old covenant led to one thing, death, which would have landed everyone into eternal death, to suffer the full consequence and judgment of God. But we've been saved by grace. We no longer have to worry about wrath anymore. We no longer have to worry about the judgment of the God because it's been unleashed upon Jesus Christ our Lord. We have nothing to fear. And yet, for us to disobey the commands of God is worse than what it is for an unbeliever or someone who is only afraid of judgment. Because every time we, as the children of God, disobey Him, we slap Him in the face and we spit upon the very cross of Jesus Christ who saved our souls. If you think obedience was important before, we should up that ante today. Because it's not about our salvation anymore. It's about the result of our salvation. It's about the reality that we have a sovereign God and King who has been benevolent to us. And it does not take away our desire. Or it should, let me rephrase that. It should put within us an overwhelming desire to obey Him in everything. We're not talking about God's secret will. We're talking about His revealed will. So when we think about obedience, it is such a nasty word, isn't it? Our nature, our human nature, it is rebellious by its very nature. We want to believe the lie. And the lie is that we can be just like God. In other words, we believe that we can be sovereign, that I can direct my own life, that I can dictate every aspect of my life. And I'm not sure how that makes us a good disciple of Christ when it says that we are to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Christ. And so this morning we have got to realize that the word obedience the world hates. The idea of having to submit to anyone, it goes against the very grain of our sinful nature. Nobody wants to respect the authorities in their life. We would rather talk about them behind their backs, defame their name, mock them, undermine them, ignore their direction, and do it your own way. We think lowly of the person that God has put over us. It is not hard to see how sinful this attitude truly is. Someone in a subordinate position seems to think they know more and can do their boss's job better than their boss. They are more concerned about how their boss does their job instead of being concerned about their own position. They concern themselves with trying to find ways around actually obeying that authority. I am speaking about obedience in a general sense this morning. To be obedient means that you have placed yourself under another to do their bidding. You are in submission to someone else. Obedience should always be more than just doing what you're told, though. Obedience should be preceded by the right attitude. An attitude that acknowledges your position as well as the position of the one in charge. It is an attitude of reverence, respect, and honor. The problem is we always think before we can respect or honor someone in a particular position, they must first earn that. The truth is, our honor and respect and reverence for anybody that is over us is not about that individual. It is about their office, their position that they are in, that God appointed them to. At the same time, recognizing our own position relative to the position of the authority in our life. The person does not follow the directions of their supervisor at work because they like him. They follow them because he's the boss. We also seem to fool ourselves in thinking we understand their job. I can assure you, until you are in a certain position, you cannot understand the job of someone in authority. All the responsibilities and duties they must answer for. If you are not the one in that position, you have no concept of what the weight of that responsibility is. Therefore, it is important for each person in whatever situation they're in to do that which their position dictates. However, if we do not have the right attitude about submission and obedience, then it is all in vain, because we are children of God. And as children of God, our attitude should be distinctly different than anything we see in the world. And I use the word distinctly different, but actually it should be the opposite. If you look at the world around you and see how they relate to authority and obedience, we shouldn't act that way. They don't understand certain things that we're going to talk about in a minute. Consider this. If your attitude resembles the attitude of the world, you're not operating out of a renewed mind. You're not doing all the things that glorify God. We must see obedience and submission in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, everything I've just said is an attitude until the last couple sentences that I went through is an attitude of the world. I mean, just stop for a moment. How do you feel when someone tells you what to do? Are you delighted? Are you delighted to do what they've told you? Or do you walk away murmuring? Walking away murmuring. Walking away thinking, man, I can do a better job. I'm smarter. That's defying God. I want us to understand something. Before we get into the text that I really want to focus on today, when it comes to that obedience is a gospel matter, I want us to remember this, that no authority, none, has been appointed that was not appointed by God. And to defy that authority means you defy God. You see, if the Word of God, as we will be looking more at next week, if the Word of God commands a woman to be obedient to her husband, and she refuses to be obedient to her husband, it's not her husband that she is disobeying. It's God. You see, these are God's commands, they're not man's. This is God's way of giving to us. And I want you to understand this about God's law, about God's commands. Even in the Old Testament, David talked about how he loved the law of God. He cherished it because he knew that it was good. Well, how much better is God's prescription for his church today, when we know that there is nothing we do to earn our adoption? There's nothing we earn that took away our wrath. There's nothing we earn that gives us eternity in the presence of God. Not one thing can we do that earns that. How much greater should we desire to bow down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? To do as Christ himself did. When he told his disciples, I have food you know nothing of. To do the will of my Father. His nourishment. It was obedience to the point of death, and that on the cross. Jesus Christ looked to the joy of the cross, because he knew it every in every thorn that was pierced in his brow, in the spear that was thrust in his side, in the humiliation of being naked upon a cross, which meant that he was cursed. He saw the joy of it because it redeemed you and I. He was obedient to the point of death. And you don't want to obey God because you don't like somebody, because you disagree with somebody. You're not disobeying that person that God has put in authority. You're disobeying God. You see, we don't take it seriously. We don't take the word of God seriously. And I'm talking to every one of us. I'm not talking to wives this morning. I'm not talking to women. I'm not talking to men. I'm not talking to children. I'm talking to everyone who proclaims the name of Jesus Christ. That's who I'm talking to. We are more concerned about our own opinions, our own ideologies. We are more concerned about what this country is doing than we are about what we're doing for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is eternal. This country one day will burn to the ground. I praise God I live here. Not going to deny that. But I will put my main concern upon my true citizenship that's in heaven. And it's where your focus should be. Every earthly venture perishes. But seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that is eternal. You are part of an eternal kingdom if you are a child of God. Do we seek to manipulate the word of God so that it fits me? I don't like that idea. I really don't. I mean, we see a lot of things in Scripture that says, well, you should be obeying this person, or you should be submitting to this person, or... I mean, we see it all over the place today, don't we? I mean, we've seen churches that manipulate the Word of God to such a degree that they allow homosexuality in the church. That's a lot of manipulation. And that's because they don't bow down to God. Do you bow down to God? Do you realize that you are a worshiper, a disciple? Do you bow down to Him? That's what our job is. Our job is to glorify God, not ourselves. Not to make much of ourselves, but to make much of God. And that means every aspect of your life. Are you here today because this is your Christian country club? Are you here today because I got to fulfill a task and then I'm good the rest of the week? Or is this just a continuation of your everyday life as you join together as the people of God? John 14:15 is where we'll start. Obeying God is not based in fear. It's not based in our concern of judgment. It's based upon the greatest thing that we can ever imagine. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself in him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You hear what our Lord and Savior is telling us here? We're distinctly different. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? What does Jesus answer? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He manifests himself in you, in your obedience, in you keeping God's word. How much of God's word are we commanded to keep? All of it. Now, let me clarify real fast. There are certain aspects of Scripture that cannot be repeated in the aspect of much of the ceremonial aspects of the law in the Old Testament because they're fulfilled. They're no longer applicable because we can't achieve salvation through them. But the Word of God is for us. The secret will of God belongs to Him. It's not yours. It's not even for you to search into. It belongs to God, but the revealed will belongs to you and your children that you may do these laws all the days of your life. Deuteronomy 29:29. So don't look for a mystical idea. Don't go into a trance and think God's going to whisper in my ear. What am I to do? Years ago, we were counseling a couple, and the wife said, God told me last night I'm to divorce my husband. The answer was, God didn't tell you to divorce anybody because that goes against his revealed will. You are accountable to your God and to your King. Our salvation does not take that away. It enhances it because it's based in love. You know, as rebellious as little children can be, they will still obey their parents because they love them. Love produces obedience. And when we understand the aspect of how we love, how do we love God? We love God because He first loved us. We can't love God until He loved us, but He loves us. So therefore, He's manifesting in us a great desire and longing to glorify Him, to exalt His name and not our own. We are always so much quicker to talk to people about our hobbies, about our politics, about everything else. So ask yourself a question. What do you delight in the most? Well, you can answer that question by examining what you think about, what you are excited to talk about the most. What weighs on your heart? The love of God? Or your love for country? Or even your love for children? Is that more important to you than the love of God? Your love of your spouse, is that more important than the love of God? You see, because every one of us are directed as a community of believers, the whole of the church has general commands. There are certain things we are commanded to do as showing the characteristics, showing the evidence, okay? It literally is and I like the word fruit better, it is the fruit of who we are in Christ. And it is to pour out as the primary aspect of life. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy other things. It doesn't mean we can't be involved in other things. It doesn't even mean we can't be involved in politics, but that shouldn't be what drives us. There's only one thing that drives us. That is the love that he poured out and manifested in Jesus Christ as our propitiation. We can look at all the different places where God tells us to obey a person. And we fight against that. We despise it. Do you rebel against your boss? You're sinning against God. Do women refuse to submit and obey their husbands? You sin against God. Do we refuse to obey anybody that God has placed in authority? Then you sin against God. It's not a matter of your opinion or mine. It's God's prescription for our lives. So he says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What does it say in verse 24? He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who is in heaven. So what is he saying? He said, this is from the Father. If you do not love me, you don't keep my words. If you don't keep God's commands, you don't love him. If you don't keep your Savior's commands, the one who died for you, the one who shed every bit of blood for our remission of sin, not for his own, are you willing to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Christ? What's more important to you? To be nourished as Christ was nourished? And to do the will of God or to do your own will? I really don't like the decision my husband made. Honor that decision. Love that decision. I don't like the decision my boss made. I mean, we have all this in text, in Scripture. If we were going to take the time to go through all the places that we are commanded to obey somebody, our attitudes look more like the world's than they look like a child of God. Let's be honest. A lot of people have jerks for bosses. A lot of wives have jerks for husbands. Does that change that God's command to them? It doesn't change the command. Because it's not, there's not an exception that says, well, if your husband acts this way, as a matter of fact, you would do it to 1 Peter, you'd find that it tells you a woman to act the way God tells her to act, even when her husband is not in line with the Word of God. Because the commands are to those specific positions God has placed us in. And when we disobey those, we disobey the Word of God. We need to remember this, that you were made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. I want to ask you this question. Are you a son of disobedience, or are you a son of righteousness? Paul tells us very clearly that we are slaves to the one we obey. We're either slaves to sin or slaves to God, which means we obey. We need to get over ourselves. Seriously, because that's our problem. It's all about us. We struggle to obey who God tells us to obey because we can't get over ourselves. I've worked in different places. I've worked as a construction foreman. A carpenter foreman. I have worked as in management in retail for several years. So I've experienced everything from being the grunt. When I started construction right out of high school, I was the yard boy. And so what did I do all day? what I was told to do. That's what I did. I need you to go pick these supplies up. What did I do? I jumped in the truck and went and picked those supplies up. I need you to get this area of the yard cleaned. What did I do? What happens if I didn't do that? I'm going to get canned for one. But see, there's a bigger issue there. Now, my attitude was not a godly attitude back then. I should do that because I want to honor God and love God. This man, my boss, told me what to do, and God's the one that put me under that man. And I should do everything to the glory of God. That means I should not be whispering behind his back. I should not be belittling him, berating him. I should not be doing anything other than going, yes, to the glory of God. Unless, of course, he tells me to directly sin, therefore my obedience is no longer obedience. Because obedience has to do with what God says. So as a pastor who has authority in the church, who the congregation is commanded to obey because I am the watcher over your souls, if I tell you to directly sin, you are to disobey every word because my word is coming from authority that does not exist. Because I am a man under authority. And every earthly authority is under the authority of God. Therefore, I cannot tell you to sin. If I tell you to sin, I've broken that authority, and you must say, no, I must obey God. But understand, that is only and only if you are directly told to sin, not because you don't like the idea. Because all of our obedience is to God. 1 Peter 1:2 says this, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience. Again, what are we talking about? We're talking about obeying God's word. Our attitudes in the church today look more like the world than they look like the church. And they look like children of God. And I'm speaking to every one of us in whatever position we may be in, whatever circumstance or situation we are in. Are we willing to sacrifice everything to obey God? My own opinion, my own idea. Well, I'm smarter than my boss, so he should do what I say. It doesn't work that way. You do not have that position. The phrase that no one likes to hear, know your own place. That is a real biblical statement. We are called to know our own place. And that means both those who are in authority as well as those who are under that authority. Because the authority, and I should really say the sub-authority, because none of us have our own authority. We are under authority. He must know his place according to Scripture. In other words, he must be submissive and obedient to the word of God as it regards to his position. And those under him must be submissive and obedient to the word of God as it pertains to that authority they are under. To do anything else is to disobey God. It is not to disobey those human elements of authority. Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. A few things about what we're seeing here. First of all, it says by faith. Our obedience is by faith. Think about it this way. Faith and believe can be used as synonyms because it's the way we attach ourselves to something else. In other words, faith is not, you can't have faith in faith. You have to have faith in an object. So our faith is in Jesus Christ. Our faith is in the sovereign work of God. Listen to what it says. Not knowing where he was going. What did he do? He did what God told him. See, a lot of the times we look at things in our own life. Gosh, I don't want to do that. it's going to have a bad result. I don't know where this is leading me. I don't know what's going to happen. But do we trust God? Do we believe God? Do we have faith? All those are all about who God is. Last week we talked about joy, right? We talked about the joy of the Lord is our strength. We should be the most joyous people in the world. We seem to be angry as a church today. When I say as a church, I'm not talking about this congregation per se. I'm talking about the church at large. We seem to be angry. You're always hearing this venom. I mean, what does the world think of us when you get on YouTube and you look at the venom that so many people are just spitting out of their mouth? It's like, where's the joy? Nobody in this world can take away our joy unless we're focused on the wrong thing. But when we're focused on God and we are obeying as God commands us to obey, we can have nothing but joy because we are desiring and obeying because we love God, because He first loved us. We are the elect of God. The elect of God, as He said back in 1 Peter, we are the elect of God according to God's foreknowledge, His foreknowing about us personally, and the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience. For obedience. Are we obedient children? Or are we're more concerned about my opinions and my ideologies and ideas, and I got to fit those in there somewhere. So let me give you an example here. I'll use myself. So there are a few things I really enjoy doing, okay? I love OU football. Season's coming up not too far away. Okay. However, if at any time that football becomes an idol to me, I've had my wife before, and it wasn't a fight within myself to do it. It was just the knowledge of knowing, hey, my wife on more than one occasion has asked me to do something else during the OU Texas game. Now, if I wouldn't have loved my wife, if I'd have put that football game over my wife, I should never watch OU football game. It is an idol. I love to fish. If fishing gets in the way of serving God, I no longer fish. You see, those are good things. There's nothing wrong with those. But who am I serving? Am I serving my hobbies? Am I serving my desires? Am I serving my ideologies and my opinions? Or am I serving God and saying, God, I don't necessarily really feel good about this, but I'm doing it because You commanded me. Because when you don't, you disobey God, not man. You disobey God. And you love Him, right? And if you love Him, you will keep His commands. Because He's put within you the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive. The world has no comprehension of what our desire should be to obey God because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. This is what obedience is all about. It's not about legalism. It's not about trying to work for something. It's working out salvation. We have it. Now we get to live it. We get to live salvation. So you can't hunt and peck. You can't say, well, I'm going to obey that, but I'm not going to obey that. Are we searching out the Scripture to see what God has actually prescribed for us to do? As a Christian in general and as individuals, as He's called us to them. There are distinct callings. What I'm called to as a pastor, none of you are called to. I am accountable for each one of your souls. You are not accountable for mine. Nor are you accountable for the soul next to you. I am commanded to preach the Word of God to you for your edification, so that you will operate in the ministry of the church. I am commanded to teach. You're commanded to learn. You see, there's distinctions. And we can go through distinction after distinction because the Word of God does. And as we continue to go through Titus, we're going to see more of those distinctions. Different situations. And yet every individual, matter of fact, as we're talking about me for a moment in my position, and that's really not talking about me, but talking about the office, because it's the office that matters. It's not the man. Martin Luther once said, I will never boast about myself, but boy, will I boast about the office. Because it's God's office. No matter who stands in this office, it's the same office. And no matter who sits in that office, they deserve the same amount of respect, the same amount of honor, the same amount of obedience, because God put them there, and he is God's man. In all of his futility, in all of his weakness, he's God's man. That's the point. It's not about us. It's about God and the love that he's shown us and the love that we are returning because he's given us his Spirit. And as I said, right now, I am obeying God. We are on verse 5 of the second chapter of Titus. And this is our 45th sermon. And the reason it's 45 sermons in is because I am trying my best in all the futility of my mind, in all of my weaknesses, to discharge the duties that God has commanded me. And I'm not going to brush through these as a whole, but I'm going to do just what he says. He says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That's what I'm doing. And so I'm going to teach each one of these things as we've been going through them, because that's what God commanded me to do. And I can't skip them. I can't skip it because it might be uncomfortable to me, or it might be uncomfortable to you, or it's like, man, this is going to cause a problem with somebody. You know what? If it causes a problem with somebody, then you need to be thinking, why is God's word causing me a problem? Isn't that good for me? I'm his child. He loves me with everything to the point of sending his own son. In the likeness of man. To take away your sin, that you might have eternal life in his presence. We don't even comprehend that. Everything we have to do today, we don't see Christ. We can't touch Christ. We believe him by faith, because he has transformed our hearts. And if he's transformed your heart, then you are an obedient child of God. So give yourself up for what God says is good and righteous, not what you think is good and righteous. He's given us a multitude of prescriptions for our life. I love the word prescription because we can take that in so many ways. We err every day. We wander away. We turn from him. And we are sick, not physically, but inwardly. And the prescription for all of that is God's word. When you deny it, when you avoid it, when you rebel against it, you're staying in the sick bed. Your mind is going to collapse in on you, and you're going to have fear, you're going to have worry, you're going to be desperate, you're going to have every negative emotion known to man instead of joy. When James tells us that we are to consider it all joy when we suffer through trials, through temptations. How is that possible? Because we know the reality of God's prescription. Everything that happens in our lives, we should go back to God's word and say, what does it say? And obey. When we don't obey, we die. And if we have a life of disobedience, of rebellion, of direct, then you are probably not a believer. And that should terrify you. Because it says right here, from the very mouth of Jesus Christ, that he who does not love me does not keep my word. And if we don't love Christ, we have not been loved by God. You know what? There's a great place of rebellion for the Christian. It's rebelling against yourself. Stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself, telling yourself the Word of God. Why so downcast, O my soul? I'll put my hope in God. See, we're downcast and we think about ourselves and we're inward and we're going, oh my gosh, whoa. And then all of a sudden we go, wait a minute, my hope's in God. I'll trust Him. Joy returns. Because we know that God is working in every aspect of our lives. And if you truly believe, you truly trust, you truly have faith, then you should go, what does God say? How? How should I consider the reality of who I am and how to work out my life? God doesn't give you detailed descriptions on how to get your car fixed or who you're going to marry or where you're going to go to school or any of those things. But in all of those things, glorify God. Be obedient to God in the way you conduct yourselves, both in the general sense of the overarching characteristics that God commands us to live in, as well as the very distinct areas of our circumstances and positions God has put us in life. It's not our choice. You know, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's not a republic. It's ruled by a sovereign king. We have a hard time understanding that in this country. All of us that exist today grew up in this country, and we see a form of government that is not going to exist in heaven, nor does it exist in the church of God, because we have a king who sends his edicts to us. He has given them to us in the Word of God. That's what governs us as a people. And it's what God says we are governed with and how we live in the world. Not according to our own desires. We're to crucify those things. And then everything we enjoy in this world, we enjoy in light of obeying God Himself. Remember, you don't separate the Word of God from God. When you disobey the Word of God, you've disobeyed God directly. You've shaken your fist at Him and said, no, I don't think so. No. And it's not a matter of saying, okay, God, I'll do this, but in my heart, I'm not. That's not love. It's attaching everything to the love of God through Jesus Christ. So it is a gospel matter. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. It's all about love. Listen to this. It's love, love, love. And it's not about your love for your spouse. It's not about your love for your boss. It's not a love for your love for anybody in authority. It is your love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're struggling in any of these areas, you need to be thinking about this. Because you're not disobeying man. You're not thumbing your nose at man. You're thumbing your nose at God. He has given you these things for your good. And when you abandon them, I don't know why you think you will have good. You will not be able to find that joy and contentment that is eternal. You'll be tossed to and fro by this thing and that thing that gives you a sensual uplift. You will be trying to find your joy and contentment in the things of the world. instead of realizing the world has no power to take away that which God has given me. It is mine because of Christ. And I can't throw it away. I can't lose it. And nobody can take it away. So why are we not bowing down to the benevolent, sovereign God in everything? Search out the scripture for what God commands you, both in general and in specific. You know, some people are bosses in here. What does God tell you about being a boss, about being an authority? How are you treating your employees? Are you considering the love of God and how you deal with them? We got to think about those things because we want to glorify God. And you know what? Maybe it's going to cost us something. It is the cost of discipleship. It is a great cost to our humanity. But the reward is eternal. That's what we hold on to. That day when we see God, when we see Jesus Christ face to face, and the glory of God will illuminate the heavens. It'll be the light. There'll be no sun, for the light will come from God himself. You know, we can't even imagine that. We try, but we can't even fathom what heaven is truly going to be like, because there's nothing in this world that can truly give us that image. Not even close. I mean, when we realize that the streets are going to be made out of gold, the things that we find most valuable are going to be building materials in heaven. We're going to walk on what we would put in safes and hold in a way that no one can steal it. Now we're going to walk on it like asphalt. How grand is heaven in the presence of God going to be? Because we're going to see the light of God. The gold will mean nothing to us. Not a thing. A single pearl that marks a gate. We will look past and be in awe of Christ. I mean, think about it. If we saw a pearl the size of this opening right here, man, we would be like, whoa! We're going to look past it in heaven. It's going to mean nothing to us. Because the only thing that's going to cause us to be in awe is God himself. And so let's love God. That's what it's all about, guys. Obedience to God's commands is loving God. It is that that glorifies him. We got to stop trying to glorify ourselves. Because we can't do it. We got to stop trying to be like God. We need to realize that what God says is what is good for us. And when we begin to do that, we will find more joy than we've ever found in our lives. We will find more contentment because we have denied ourselves and we have followed Christ. Our obedience is a matter of love. It is a matter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Most glorious God and Father, as we come to you now, Lord, may we be so loving towards you. May the manifestation of you being in us be realized by the way we live our lives in conformity to your word, seeking, Father, to glorify you in all that we do, not fearing anything. Because the fear of damnation has been taken away. It is gone forever because we are the children of the living God. Now may we obey you as a father. May we embrace you and display our love for you by obeying every aspect of your word to the glory of Christ Jesus our Lord. It is in his name I pray. Amen.